37. This is the word of the Lord. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold the field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord. By faith in Christ, we are united to the whole Christ. And united to the whole Christ, we share all things with Christ. And Christ shares all things with us. In our union with him, he gives himself to us and all that belongs to him. As in a marriage, when a man gives himself to his wife, and a woman gives herself to her husband, all that is his becomes hers, and all that is hers becomes his. Not only joy, but also sorrow. Not only plenty, but also want. Not only strength, but also weakness. And so it is with Christ. He gives us what is his. And we give him what is ours. He takes our sin. He covers our shame. He bears our weakness. And he gives us his righteousness. He clothes us in his holiness. He lends to us his strength. Our union with Christ, the whole Christ becomes ours. But the whole Christ includes the sufferings of Christ. And so the one united to him must also suffer with him. Though it is not pleasant, is not easy. The one who suffers in Christ, the one who suffers with Christ, he does not suffer in vain. He suffers in the hope of glory. Not earthly glory, not riches or the praise of men, but heavenly glory. Glory from the Father. In case we should wonder, in Acts chapter 4, we are left without any doubt. The Lord is sovereign over all things, and that includes suffering. He was sovereign over the sufferings of Christ, and he is sovereign over the sufferings of the church. When we say that he is sovereign over them, we do not only mean that he has power over them, but that he himself has ordained them, that his hand has predestined them to take place. And as he determined that the Christ should enter his glory through suffering, so he has determined that the church should enter through the same. And this is why we do not suffer in vain. This is why we do not hope in vain. But the one who is sovereign over our sufferings is also sovereign over their end. And what is that end? Eternal glory. Eternal rest. In Christ, we do not suffer in vain. And in Christ, you do not suffer alone. You do not suffer alone, because Christ is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. He is not with you in the body. He is with you by his Spirit. That does not mean that he has left you without his body, for you find his body in the church. And so we do not suffer alone in the body, for we are members of his body, and so we are members of one another. As we belong to him, we belong to one another. Christ gives us all that is his. And so as we share all things in him, we share all things with one another. As we share in the sufferings of Christ, so we share in one another's afflictions, and we bear one another's burdens. But as we see at the end of Acts chapter 4, we do not only share in one another's burdens, we also share in one another's blessings. His grace was upon the church, such that no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own. Grace was upon the church, so that they had everything in common. Here is a grace that is great. So great is this grace that we do not always desire to have it. It is a grace we may be reluctant to seek, lest seeking it, we should find it. What is this grace? It is the grace of generosity. It is the grace of generosity without measure. It is the grace of considering nothing as your own. It is the grace of knowing that whatever you have been given has not been given for you to possess alone. The man who knows this grace sees himself as a steward of the things he has been given. The man who does not know this grace likely sees himself as a protector of the things he has been given. But in truth, he is nothing more than a protector of his own interests. Such a man is never satisfied. He does not know how to say, it is enough. And this is true not only of his possessions, it is also true of his relations. The man is to be the husband of one wife. A woman is to be the wife of one husband. But consider the way of the man upon whom rests this grace of generosity. He is jealous for his wife, but he is not jealous of his wife. And while he sees her as one to be protected, he does not see her as something to be grasped. He is protective of her. He is not possessive of her. And he does not despise the joy she brings to others, or the joy others bring to her. For he knows that in the end, she does not belong to him, but to another. She belongs to Christ. The man who does not know this grace is not protective of his wife, but protective of his pride. He sees her as existing to please him and no other. To know this grace of generosity is to be freed from all pride. with this grace of generosity, we no longer feel the need to define ourselves by the things we possess, but rather to be defined by the one from whom they came, by the one by whom they have been given. If he is sovereign over all things, and he is sovereign over all that we have, and so we must see ourselves as stewards of what we have received. Having this grace in Christ, we learn the way of Christ. But what is ours is not to be grasped. But what is ours has been given to us that we might give it to others, that we might share it with others, that we might enjoy it with others. And in this way, we are conformed to the image of Christ. We did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He humbled himself, made himself nothing, made himself poor, that he might share with us all that belongs to him. That he might share his life with us. That we might share in the life of God. Consider our God. He is not known as the one who withholds every good thing. He is the one who gives every good thing. And not only because he opens his hand to satisfy the desire of every living creature, because he is in himself one who gives and does not take. The Father in the Spirit gives himself to the Son. The Son in the Spirit gives himself to the Father. It is why the Spirit is called gift. The life of the Spirit, the life of giving, a life without selfishness, a life without greed, a life without demanding. There is no greed in God. And not only because he lacks nothing, but because it is his nature to give. He is the God of all grace. And if we would know him as he is, then we must learn all that is in him. If we would know him truly, we must know his generosity. We must share in his generosity. Not only as one who has received his generosity, but as one who reflects his generosity. And in this way, the life of the church will reflect the life of God. A life without selfishness. A life without greed. A life without demanding. The church must become a place without selfishness. A place without greed. A place without demanding or insisting. And when these things are found among us, we must repent of them and turn from them. And delighting ourselves again in the generosity of Christ, delighting ourselves in the fullness of his grace, delighting ourselves in the abundance of his love, we may grow in sharing with one another what has been given to us. In Acts chapter 4, we find the life of God and the life of the church. We read that there was not a needy person among them. Not because everyone in the church was rich. Even in this same book of Acts, we will find those in the church who were poor. They did not have much, but only little. How then was there not a needy person among them? Because their needs were supplied by one another. Their needs were supplied by the church. Here we find the members of the church selling their inheritance in the land of promise and laying the proceeds at the feet of the apostles. They understood that their true inheritance was not in the land. They understood that their true inheritance was not on earth. They understood that their true inheritance was in heaven and in the church. This is why they laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet. Because the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles. And so it was given for the building of the church. us within the church might know the care of Christ. Why did they do this? They did not do this because they were required to do so. They did not do this because they were coerced to do so. They did not do this because they were made to feel guilty if they did not do so. Why then did they do this? They did this because today's grace is upon them all. This grace is grace. Lavish generosity. It was yours in Christ. It is your inheritance in Him. Do not be afraid. You will not lose anything on account of it. For the one who finds it knows that what belongs to him is not his own, and so it cannot be lost. See what you gain. The whole of Christ. And the whole of God. May His grace rest upon you. May there be not a needy person among you. Amen.